passion is really just a strong emotion, a strong response to something. A lot of people think of passion as my job, my career, my service. Like, you know, I need to find my passion. Right? A lot of people will write to me. A lot of people, certainly when we did the Oprah show on finding your passion, lots of people wrote in saying, you know, I'm desperate to find my passion. When I hear that from people, I'm desperate to find my passion, what I hear underneath that are two things. Number one, I'm desperate to get back to a connection with how I feel. And number two, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life that I don't like, and I'm desperate to find something that's going to make me feel better. Often that's what happens for people. And so it's why the first thing to understand about passion is that it's not an external event, it's an internal experience. And in order to have passionate feelings, and you know, passionate feelings can be, I'm really angry, I'm excited, I'm enthusiastic, I'm rageful, I'm disgusted. I mean, you can be, you know, Erin Brockovich was disgusted by what some of these people were doing. She was passionate about that. In order to be able to connect with our passion, that strong emotion, we have to be able to be more connected to how we feel, right? We have to be able to connect our head with our heart. Now, we live in a culture that forces us to go up into our heads and to stay up here. I mean, think about it. 20, 30 years ago, before answering machines, pre-answering machine, remember those days where when you called somebody and they, because you had a need and they weren't home, you had to call them back, right? Remember those days? Those wonderful days. And then all of a sudden we get answering machines and I call Bob with a need and Bob's not there and I leave a message that says, hey Bob, it's Cheryl, listen, I need so-and-so's number. When you have a chance, give me a call. And what have I just done to Bob? Yeah, I've added an item to his to-do list. I've shifted the responsibility, my need, onto his shoulders. If you look at technology over the years, the answering machine, then call waiting, and I don't know who dreamt that one up. Really. I mean, you might as well just like put on a box, you know, how to tweak the adrenal system, you know, get call waiting. Because, you know, for those of you that ever had it or still have it, you're on the phone, you're talking to mom, the phone beeps and you go, hold on, mom, your husband's on the other line, your husband's like, honey, I got to talk to you about something. You're like, uh-huh. Step it up, because I got to get back to mom. And you feel that anxiety in your body, right? You know the anxiety I'm talking about? That's the adrenal system kicking in. And when our fight or flight system gets engaged in that way, we automatically are living up in our heads. The only thing we're feeling, quite frankly, at that time is anxiety, and it ain't pretty. So we take answering machines, call waiting, and then fax machines. I remember John Nesbitt many years ago when he wrote Megatrends 2000 talked about how fax machines were going to change the world. You know, and all it did was give more people other ways to get to us with their needs. Can't get you by phone? I'll fax you. I still have people, friends of mine who will do that. You know, if I can't get you by phone, I'll send you a fax because I know if you're there, you'll get it. And then we went from fax machines. I remember when Bill Gates said, computers are going to change your life. They're going to make your life so much easier. Yeah, right. Now we have email. And so all the shy people in the world who hate to leave messages on answering machines get to email you. Right? So what's constantly happening is we're constantly being pulled outside of ourselves to address the needs and the demands of others. You all know what I'm talking about, right? I'm sure you all have nice long to-do lists. And if I were to ask you to just take 20 seconds and think about the phone calls you need to return or the emails you need to return, I'm not going to do that. I'm sure you could get your anxiety level up there. I mean, that's what we're all faced with. When we're living in a society that really challenges us to always be on the lookout, always be responding, we're always externally focused. And when you're externally focused, there's a good chance that you're going through life as a talking head, you know, not internally focused at all. Does it make sense? Yeah. Can you see why it's really hard to find your passion? Because if you're living in your head and you're disconnected from how you feel, what's going to show you your passion? A crisis? A wake-up call? I mean, look what happens when we have an earthquake in this country. Everybody just instantly, in the present moment, rises to the occasion. Everybody comes together to support each other. There are feelings of well-being and love. People who have experienced, have been through earthquakes, talk about the amazing camaraderie and community that occurs when that happens. Because living in a society that has us always just, our fight or flight system going crazy, means that we got to get a big jolt in order to connect with how we feel. Or we need some space, some quiet time. How many people here have ever had the experience of, I don't know, maybe driving in your car, you're driving along, or maybe you're taking a walk, and you have, you know, a couple moments of peace, and I don't know, you think about something that you feel enormously grateful for, or you see a beautiful bird or a beautiful sunset, and in that moment you have a grace-filled moment where tears come to your eyes. How many people have ever had that experience? Yeah, that's called feeling. Really, that's what it is, and I want you to remember that the next time you have that experience. In that moment, your head and your heart and your gut all get connected up, and you get a glimpse of feeling. That's the state we have to nurture. That's the state we have to create in our lives in order to connect with passion. Otherwise, you know, you got to wait around for the universe to give you some big wake-up call. Not that that's such a bad thing, and I'm going to tell you some stories of people who found their passion because of that. But what I want all of you to remember is, if you're in this room thinking, oh, I long to find my passion, I want to figure out what it is I'm meant to do here on this planet Earth, the first step is to start reconnecting with how you feel. How do you do that? It's what I talked about in Take Time for Your Life. That book is all about the external things you need to get handled so that you can make your extreme self-care a top priority. That means you need to spend time with yourself on a regular basis. Time alone. Time in silence, definitely. I mean, come on. If you're walking around a noisy life, it's going to be really hard to shift your focus inward. For most people, my husband would disagree with me on that. He's the kind of guy who can like have the computer going, the TV going, you know, be reading a magazine and can connect with how he feels in a moment because that actually helps him. I don't know why, but we need to engage in those activities that return us to how we feel. So what kinds of activities do that? Massage, body work helps us to connect our heads with our body. If massage doesn't feel comfortable to you, you know, full body massage, foot massage would be great. Be great to do amongst friends. I have some friends, we used to do the foot massage chains. Do you ever see those? One foot, everybody gets one foot and you're working on it. Yeah, it's cool. So body work can return us to how we feel. Quiet time can return us to how we feel. Meditation. Journaling. Journaling for me, because I've done it since I was 12 years old, is a form of meditation. I know that when I'm running around like a crazy woman, and believe me, I am teaching what I have to learn. When I'm running around like a crazy woman, as soon as I open my journal, I light a candle, I sit down, I get quiet. I get to about a page and a half and I start to connect with how I feel. Now the reason most of us have a hard time doing that is because it's very common that when you begin to connect with how you feel, you're going to connect with some uncomfortable feelings at first. Often clients will tell me, my experience with audience members as well and in workshops, is that sadness is one of the things they tap into. One of the first things. As a matter of fact, there's an exercise that I do with people when I talk about identifying your top priorities. I do a guided visualization. And when I do that, it's just 5 or 10 minutes, and I have people get relaxed and begin to identify those things that need their attention at this time in their life. And I'm surprised all the time, about 50 to 60% of the audience starts crying, men and women. They'll start, tears will come to their eyes, because so few of us have enough of those moments where we actually stop, breathe, relax, and connect with ourselves. And the first emotion that comes up is usually sadness. You know, I often think of it as our soul crying. You know, our soul trying to, I see tears as the language of the soul anyways. Tears are a good thing. When you're crying, it's a good thing. So we need to begin to connect with how we feel. Self-care is the path that you need to be on in order to make that connection so that you can then get in touch with the things you feel passionate about. Now, passionate interests come in all shapes and sizes. And I want to just give you some examples. When we look at passion, the things that people feel passionate about, what I want to do is kind of bring it beyond just the work arena, because we can feel passionate about so many different things. My friend Peter, who lives in Massachusetts, he lives in Newburyport where I live, he and his wife, Peter is passionate about sailing. I mean, you know he's passionate because he can be kind of in a down mood, And the minute you say, especially in the winter, he gets really down. That's a clue. You know, he's missing a sailboat. You know, when May 1st rolls around, his